The Lunchtime Social is brought to you in association with White Fibre for the best deals in broadband, television and phone, 100% local. All employees live on the Isle of Wight. Check them out at www.whitefibre.com.
Here we are then, it's the Tuesday Lunchtime Social Debate. We've got Prickles in, and we have been speaking to Jonathan Bacon and Phil Jordan and Dave Stewart in the last week or so, and hopefully, fingers crossed, they will be making an appearance on the show very soon. We want to talk about cutbacks, we want to talk about budgets, we want to talk about austerity. And we also want to encourage you to fill in the form that you can fill in via the council's website.
You can online, yes.
So how do we do it?
You go onto the council website. It's called Public Consultation on Budget Cuts, I think.
Okay, why are we doing it?
Because the council want to know what we deem as an essential service and what you feel we could do without.
Okay.
But I need to stress, everything on the form, Ian, and you've seen a copy of the form, is essential to someone.
Okay, it is.
It's going to hurt someone.
You're absolutely right. Cutbacks are already out there. They're already, you know, withdrawing certain things, and they have been doing this for a number of months. And it is kind of scary. I had a conversation with a lady this morning that's saying that, you know, certain funding has been pulled, and that's the reason why we're having an influx of people that want to come on the 4Ps course because there's no help elsewhere for them, which is kind of sad. It's very sad. And you just look at this and you think, how far are they going to cut? How far are they going to go? How long is it going to go on for? Is it going to be, you know, for 6 months? Is it going to be for 12 months? You know, is it going to be when they vote to stay in Europe? And if they stay in Europe, there might be some money available. If they come out of Europe, will there be some money available? You know, is there any light at the end of the tunnel? Those are questions that probably most people are asking. How long is it all going to last? How long is this actually going to go on for? Is that it? Is that once they've made these cuts on these poor people, is that it? They're never going to get this funding back again?
That's what it sounds like at the moment.
Okay, well that's say scary. Doesn't cheer me up, doesn't fill me with confidence. It's quite, when you look at it, it's hard hitting when you hear people that, and as mentioned earlier on, about an hour ago, we were talking about a gentleman that I used to go to school with. Can't name him because I'm going to mention his wife and I don't want to get her into trouble, but she runs or works for some kind of soup kitchen that's here on the Isle of Wight. The figures say that nationally on the Isle of Wight there are only 31 homeless people. That's 31 homeless people. I say that there shouldn't be any homeless people on the island. There shouldn't be any homeless people in Britain, to be quite honest. This is Great Britain. That's what makes it great, surely. And the icing on the cake of those figures are, they ain't right. 31, it turns out, you delve a little bit deeper. This lady runs some kind of, or helps out with some kind of soup kitchen that is dealing with 131 people that are classed as homeless. That's just one person helping out. What about the others that don't know about this particular soup kitchen? You know, it's really, really sad. It's about time, maybe. Or is it that we started taking a bit more notice? Because I've got to be honest, it's half depressing, isn't it?
It is very, very depressing.
And is that a reason why people have turned their backs on it, or they're not involved in it, or they seem to be not involved in it? You went to a meeting last night and you were disappointed with the turnout. This meeting was to do with the council cutbacks, the budgets, and this happened at Medina Theatre.
It did. It did, yeah.
And how many people does Medina Theatre hold?
I think probably, I don't know, about 400 people.
Okay.
Four or 500 people, I would say.
How many people were there?
About 150.
Now, is that a real 150? Or is it 150 to make it look better or look worse?
Obviously, there was a lot of councillors there. There was a lot of parish and town councillors there. And there was members of the council. So, probably about 110, 115.
So, it wasn't 150?
Well, yeah, people.
Right. And councillors as well?
And councillors as well.
Okay, interesting. There's no press release as yet as to how it went or whatever. I think the only people that are reporting on it are us at the moment. and someone else. I think it's on the white that they've actually reported on it. Nobody else is actually reporting on it. So they're not actually got a figure out there. Because it's interesting, because when you had the austerity figures a couple of, 6 months ago, 8 months ago, and somebody said there was about 100, then it turned out there was 90, then 80, and then it dwindled down to about 65. Mm. So, you know, what are the right figures? What is the right amount of people that were there? But either way, it's not a massive amount. But then I did point out that yesterday Cowes was hit by an awful shock, and it could have been a, you know, and for some people it was a catastrophe because they've lost their business, and I feel so sorry for them. But nobody died. Thankfully, nobody died. And the emergency, the NHS ambulance, no ambulances were called. And you think, you look at that and you look at the footage, you look at the pictures and you think, wow, that's incredible. No one was called. No one was seriously injured. That is, a blessing. But that would have had a massive effect on last night's meeting. I guarantee it would have done, purely and simply because there were people trying to get on and off the island yesterday, and it took them hours, and I mean hours, to do so. So that would have had a knock-on effect. So maybe there would have been over 200 people. It's still not a sellout, if that's the correct term.
It's still not enough, is it?
It's still not enough.
Still not enough for what is actually going on.
But I'll be honest with you, how many people knew about it?
It's been advertised. I think there was an advert in the county press. There's been adverts on radio.
What if you don't read the county press? What if you, you know, it's all very well advertising in these places, but they have to find a way of getting people involved. And maybe they should look elsewhere as well. I'm saying that, you know, no one sent us a press release.
Okay.
And they didn't. No one sent us a press release. But then if 400 people turned up, would it make any difference whatsoever? Would it make any difference whatsoever?
It's not going to make any difference to the cuts, no.
No.
But I do actually think an awful lot more people on the Isle of Wight need to be aware of what is actually coming. Because it's coming one way or another. It just depends on where the cuts are.
Do you think they're not aware then? Or they
I think there's an awful lot of people that probably aren't aware that, you know, come the summer when they go to the park and the grass isn't cut, or they go to the park and there's no nice flowers there, or they go down to the Cascades in Ventnor and all the flower beds there don't look lovely, or when your bins aren't being emptied as regularly as they were,
okay.
When the youth clubs are closing, people will realise when the effects happen. They need to be aware now.
Interesting. We'll come back to that point. Hi, who's this?
Hello, Ian. Hello, Ali.
Hiya.
How are you both? All right.
Well, you sounded... Do you know what? For someone that's always generally really, really chipper and happy...
Yeah, we've gloomed you.
There was like, oh, hello, Ian. Hello. Do you know what I mean? So,
it was just something I just read on the internet. I don't know whether to believe it or not, but it's a bit sickening what I did read. You're all about cutbacks. Apparently, the government are now paying the young doctors double the amount what the NHS are paying for them to go and assess those as on benefits.
Say that again?
The government are paying... You know the doctors are striking for... The young doctors are striking for more money.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. Well, it's just been revealed to me that apparently they're paying young doctors double the NHS rate to go and assess people for benefits.
Really?
Yeah. You know, well, what is this country coming to, Ian? I just do not understand it, mate.
Well, I don't. And every now and again, Keith, you get a little short, sharp shock. You get a realisation of just how bad it is.
Yeah.
And you do. You just think, right, OK, there's 25 other councils that are in the same position as we are. That's a whole load of people that are being affected by this.
Yeah.
And you just... When you know that these kind of cutbacks are affecting people, affecting their lives, you just think... When did we become a nation that A, didn't care,
excuse me. Yeah.
It's just beyond belief. When did we become a nation that is on the brink of third world? Because that's what it is. I mean,
it's falling down around our ears, mate. And, you know, this latest flare-up that they're on about regarding the issue over the wristbands. Did you hear about that?
I did hear something about the wristband.
Was that with the immigrants, Keith?
Yeah. Yeah, What's going on there? I don't understand. You know, so what, they think they shouldn't wear the wristbands now because it makes them, it's sort of, how can I put it, Ali? It's sort of making them look, well, they said they were comparing them to the Jews during the war.
Well, I think for people that don't know, they were giving wristbands, weren't they, red wristbands, yeah, to the immigrants so they could identify who they were and how they needed help and point them in the right direction. But I think it's gone the other way and they are now being racially abused and things because they're actually wearing the wristbands.
I think what it is basically, this is what they get for wearing the wristbands, to be honest with you, Ali. I didn't want to say it, but, you know, apparently wearing these wristbands, they're entitled to 3 meals a day plus also accommodation.
But they're now being abused, aren't they, because they're wearing the wristbands.
Well, it's causing rebellion amongst the people of Britain, I'm afraid. You know, what can you do? You know, you've got a serviceman that's coming back and coming out of the army due to cutbacks, and they're homeless. They've got nowhere to live, because obviously they were in service quarters, and once you're out of the services, that's it.
Do you know, I've said this before, and I don't want to sound like a broken record, but part of the problem we have in this country is that our media will give you a different story,
a different perspective on how things really are.
You switch a channel and you'll see something else, and that's, you know, we I don't know, what do you believe? We're in some cases we're ill informed.
What do you believe?
Exactly. What do you believe? All we know is I had a phone call this morning from a lady that is now, you know, working in certain services, and I can't go into details, but you know, she's saying the cutbacks are now just beginning to kick in, and these youngsters and people of you know, over a certain age, they're now becoming more and more vulnerable because there's not the services to help them. There's not the services in place to help them. And you just think, how sad is that?
No, you're dead right, Ian.
We have now an array of people that are here at Vectis Radio, and they're here for the right reasons. They're here to be, you know, for the communication skills, the confidence skills. But we are... Somebody's just said that... Have you got anybody that's got, you know, autism? And there are one or two.
Yeah.
There's a young lad that comes in on a Tuesday. He's doing an autism project for us.
Yeah.
So it's not a secret, it's out there. But there are more and more people that are coming on our books that have autism purely and simply because the help that they were getting has now been withdrawn.
The funding has been cut.
And you just look at that and think, well, how sensible, how not sensible is that? I mean, that's just daft. All of these people now, and this is just one place. This is the Isle of Wight where it's happening. There are, you know, many places up and down the country that are having the same kind of issues, the same kind of problems. And honestly, it beggars belief. Every now and again, though, you just want to take your eye... You just want to forget about it, so you do. And I'm pretty sure that the reason why there seems to be so much apathy is because otherwise, if you go into it so deeply, or you go into it and you start caring, you start upsetting yourself and you start depressing yourself.
Indeed.
So you switch off.
Indeed.
And but then, my way of thinking, Keith, is... You know, I can shout and I can shout loudly, but if I've got 150 people stood behind me shouting, we might be heard.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so the apathy.
Apparently now they're going to, on about the police, the heads of the police will be running the Forest Service, et cetera, et cetera. In my opinion, I know what people might say, I'm talking absolute rot, but it seems to me as if they want to go, the government's trying to push it back to the very, very, very old days, when you had different insurance companies that ran the fire service. So you had to pay an insurance to get the firemen out. Do you remember that, Ian?
Yeah.
You know, I know it wasn't in our time. We're going back, centuries, I think, isn't it? But they used to have, that's where you used to see these buildings with like a big sun on the side and things like that. It was depicting the sun, was that was the insurance company that they were paying, or the fire brigade they were paying. It was like the fire brigade was run by that insurance company.
Yeah.
And I can see it going the same way. Corporate bloody gain. Excuse me.
I think
gain again.
I see where you're coming from.
I think ultimately what the government wants is for each council to be kind of self-sufficient.
Yeah.
To, you know, to bring in their own income from business tax and things like that, and council tax and stuff. But there are obviously smaller authorities like the Isle of Wight Council that cannot do that, that do not generate... They don't generate enough income to cover their costs.
Well, that tragedy you had yesterday with that fire, you know, people are shouting, no, we need a bridge now. We need a bridge because we could get the fire appliances quicker. But if they built the bridge, they'd take away your fire service. They say, well, they won't need a fire service on the Isle of Wight because you've got a bridge. We can get ours over there.
Do you know what? The more you look into that, the more you... I think what you just said there is absolutely right. What else would they take away? They'd probably take away our hospital as well.
Yeah,
you know.
See that?
They've
got
a bridge there. They can, if they put a bridge there, they say, "Well, there's a bridge. There's a connection to the mainland. If they get a problem, they can have off the mainland."
I mean, is it as bad? Because this is a simple question. Is it as bad as we, the three of us, think it is? Because if it was so bad, then how come we ended up with a government that insisted they were going to do this anyway, but we still ended up with it? I can't get my head round that one.
No,
so is it as bad?
Because people voted for them.
It's all controlled, mate, isn't it? It's all controlled.
Yeah.
You know, like I said to you, these have come back into power. This what you call it, the Nigel Farage business, that was, you know, where's he gone now? Where was the people's person, as they called him?
Well, Keith, I was asked to do a little bit of homework before we came up with this, okay? Right. In the UK, there are 433 councils.
Right.
27 of them are county councils. 16 are Conservative councils, and there are 9 with no overall control. 55 are what's classed as unitary authorities. There's 17 that are Conservative. There are 16 with no overall control. 32 are London boroughs. There are 9 that are Conservative, and there are 2 with no overall control. The rest are Labour. There are 36 what are called metropolitan boroughs. There are 2 that are Conservative, and there are 4 with no overall control. There are 201 district councils. 120 are Conservative, and 36 have no overall control. There are 22 Welsh authorities. 10 with no overall control, no Conservatives at all. Scotland, with no overall control, have 21, but no Conservatives at all.
It'd be interesting to see, and it would be, if we could get a breakdown of where all of the issues and the problems are. I.e., do they have problems, councils, do councils have problems in Scotland? Because what they're saying is there are 25 councils up and down the country that are similar to ours at the moment. They're struggling.
Yeah.
And it would just be interesting to see where all the others are. Are they in Scotland? If so, what are they doing that we're not?
Well, it's like in Winchester, Ian, right? Over the last 18 months to 2 years, they have built this police holding complex in Winchester. And what they've done there, they've stuck it just off the M3 up there at Winnall. And they've got the police headquarters and the police station's going to be based there. The fire station is going to be based there. They're all about moving the ambulance station up to there, right? And what I'm trying to say is they shut all the police stations down and just had this main sort of holding centre in Winchester.
Mm.
You know, because between me and you, well, it's not between everybody, I'm telling you now, Lyndhurst, that was a big police concern over there, but the holding station for criminals, etc., when you arrested them and whatnot, you know, that's all being shut down, Ian. It's the same as what happened to Wales and Andover. Andover will go that way eventually, and Winchester Centre... Central, that's gone. Winchester Central Fire Station, that's gone. That's now been flattened and they're building houses on it.
So what is it like where you live? Is there, I mean, you probably listen to the Isle of Wight news a lot, because I know you listen to Vectis Radio a lot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So how does it compare with where you are?
Well, we've got, how can I say it? In Wiltshire, they've got 3 constables the other night that were covering the whole of South Wiltshire. 3 officers.
Right.
That's all. The whole from Swindon to across the Devizes down to that part of Wiltshire, there was only 3 officers. That was Salisbury, Trowbridge, all that lot, all those, Westbury, Warminster, all those towns were covered by three officers.
That's scary.
It's crazy.
Yeah,
absolutely crazy. You know, it's like now the one about trying to give more power to the what could you call them? What are those PCSOs, aren't they?
Yeah.
And you know, they're trying to give them more power. They do need more power. But the trouble is, they're given the power, the people's just not recognising it.
Mm.
You know, they say, oh, damn you. You know, it's like, I still reckon that traffic wardens ought to issue penalty points.
Yeah. Do you know, it's just something that's just popped into my head. Somebody made a joke about David Cameron the other day.
Because
Cameron is so unaware. Is he? Or is he so unaware? He apparently complained to his local council because of the cutbacks. That's in the news, and it's been in the news for the last X amount of months. David Cameron complained to his local councillor because of the cutbacks in his area. So you look at that and you think that you couldn't make that up. That would be a brilliant script in something like Blackadder, wouldn't it? I mean, you just think, is he having a laugh?
Yeah.
Is he having a laugh?
It's like sticking a pin in your car tyre and then moaning because you've got a puncture.
You know, it's like that main axe wielder on the benefit side, Ian Duncan Smith. Where is he at the moment?
In hiding, I expect.
He's below the radar. I don't know what he's up to.
I expect he's in hiding.
Low profile, but there was that awful story last week where the lady was hit by bedroom tax and she lost because... They tried to make her pay extra because she lost a child.
I know, it's terrible.
I mean, it is. It's absolutely dreadful.
They have no compassion.
She lost a child, and they were hitting her with the bedroom tax, and I think she took her own life, and she wrote a letter to David Cameron. That was the thing that she had in her hand. It was a letter to David Cameron. And you think, how unaware are you? You're our Prime Minister. How unaware are you?
They are.
That you then are in the news... moaning at your local council because they've made cutbacks in your area. Hello? You made those overall cutbacks yourself.
Exactly. Him and Mr. Osborne. What's his name? Jeffrey, innit?
Keith, I've got a form in front of me and it's actually stating what the cuts to the Isle of Wight Council will be. And they are absolutely devastating.
There should be no cuts in council.
Well,
there should be no politics in council either.
No, there should absolutely not be any politics whatsoever at local government level at all. Last night on this form, and the same with the one online, they're asking you to tick three of the services which you think are the most important, and then three of the services that you think are the least important. Okay?
Yeah.
And we go from... further reductions to grounds maintenance. We mentioned this earlier about grass not being cut and stuff.
Yeah, they've done that around here, yeah.
Right.
That.
Alternative methods of service delivery. How often your bins should be emptied. Remove free travel for concessionary bus pass holders on the floating bridge. White care service efficiencies. Reducing funding to the youth service. Delete vacant posts. Not do any school improvements. It's unbelievable, Keith. You know, some of the things that are actually stated on here that could be at risk.
Do you know whether your school meals are going up by 10p?
I've got no idea.
Yeah, ours are over here from the, I think it's the 1st of April.
How much is it now, Keith? How much does it cost?
£2. It's gone up to £2.10.
£2, that's per meal?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest...
that's still good value for money.
Oh, it is what they get.
Yeah,
and also the variation they get now.
Yeah,
but it's like they bought in this, didn't they? All the 7-year-olds and under had free school meals because they thought it would help them, you know, and this, that, and the other. And that was under the joint government, wasn't it?
Okay,
that's right.
And they want to take that away, don't they?
They want to take that away. It's not the free food.
Yeah,
free fruit, I should say.
How would you feel, though, Keith? Just say, for instance, so we look at you mentioned grass there being cut.
Yeah.
And you think, right, okay, I would be looking at this budget now and I'd be thinking, right, necessity. People's lives, I don't want to interfere with people's lives. If the grass isn't cut in a particular place, that's not going to interfere with people's lives. We should be encouraging people to maybe help out. Or maybe those people, and we've got plenty of them, that go and... you know, commit crimes, and they're going out as
groups of people to pick up litter. Yeah, they got the, what do you call it, when you get on when you have to do hours.
Community service.
Community service.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got them out here. They were out here the other week picking up litter.
I think, you know, okay, those things that you mentioned, to me, yes, they're important, but they're not a necessity. Let's get those team of people, right, you're going to be on litter picking, you're going to be cutting grass. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
Hey, we need to help ourselves a bit. And by the way, Bob, because you're extra naughty, you're going to be on toilet duty.
So actually...
Well, they have to do that for people to get their benefits now, you know, their unemployment benefit. They have to go and do voluntary work and whatnot.
But we're kind of missing the point that we're a tourist island. So what happens when the grass is knee-deep?
Well, it won't be.
At these parks and places.
You get these community service chaps to do it.
There are people visiting these parks that see that our grass is being cut by people doing community service.
What's wrong with that? It wouldn't bother me.
Would it not? Not if you were on holiday to a tourist destination.
Not at all.
They did that in, I think it was up north somewhere, didn't they? They did that. They had them planting bowls and they planted a swear word in the roundabout, didn't they?
Yeah. Did they?
When they come up, there was this big offending swear word.
That's funny.
So they had to go dig them all up again.
That's funny.
You got to laugh at the ingenuity of the Crims, though, haven't you?
You have. Yeah. You have. But at the same time...
We'll have them. They got us doing this. We'll do that. But it's like, out here, and, you know, they last year, they come around... No, beg your pardon. It's longer than that now. It's nearly 2 years ago now. They come around, they change the street lamps to make them, is it low, what they call low light or something?
Yeah, on the white lights.
That's it. Then they wonder why the criminal went up. The criminal, the offences went up, you know what I mean?
Mm.
Like breakages and breaking ins and things like that. Because there's no blinking lights, that's why. You know what I'm saying?
Hey. I'm going to go through this form in a minute. I'm going to ask you one more question.
Yes, mate.
On this form, this feedback form, and I'm not having a go at anybody, okay?
Yeah.
It says on it, there's a whole list of stuff that you have to work through, okay? And it's kind of complicated because you read it and then you've got to tick, should we keep it? Is it important? Is it not quite so important? And you go through and just say, for instance, you're a guy that has an affinity with the Isle of Wight and you know a lot about what's going on the Isle of Wight.
Yeah.
Okay? So when I read out some of these things, it means absolutely nothing to me. It really does. When I read out, just say, for instance, alternative methods of service delivery. What do you mean by that? End support for Learning Disability Wednesday Club. Now, that to me says, no, you can't do it. That's it. The next thing is review of Top 200 Complex. What is Top 200 Complex?
God knows.
Exactly. Then you've got White Care, service inefficiencies. You think White Care? Okay, that sounds like care. Let's tick it. Let's tick the yes box. Let's keep it. There's other things in there like additional income, closure of mental health day services. Again, that's quite clear. You tick the one that you want to keep. But then it goes on to things like, you know, vacant posts, delete, the closure of Branston Farm. Now, I know what Branston Farm's all about, but there's a lot of people that wouldn't know what Branston Farm's all about. So they're thinking, right, should we keep Branston Farm? Why? Who owns it? What does it do? Do you know what I mean? It's not that clear. Cease grant funding for youth offer contract. Now, we're part of that youth offer contract. It says what it is. Other people will make their decision on it. We think we're doing some good work. We're working with communication and we're building youngsters' confidence. It says it reduced grants for short breaks. What the hell does that mean? Are we going on holiday for a short break?
No, I think it's for youngsters to go on breaks.
But
and
the thing
stuff,
is,
isn't it?
Ali, it's not clear. And it needs to be clear. We need to get the people on side by being absolutely 100% clear. Anybody reading that, there'll be a lot of people that read that and they will be switched on and they know exactly what it is. But there'll be a lot of people that pick that up and say, right,
well,
okay,
yeah.
What is it?
I think this is actually a complete list of how they can deliver cuts.
Okay.
They've sat down and this is it. There isn't anything else they can cut apart from what is on this list.
So you want to cut contract renegotiations. Review of the back office software solution. What does that actually mean and what is it? Do you know what I mean? Do you know what that means?
No, I don't.
So how can you tick it?
Well, you can't, so it's not going to get ticked, is it?
Well, how can you tick it either way?
You can't, that's what I'm saying.
So the whole thing, I'm sorry, but the whole thing... It's not going to be efficient, is it?
But this is part of the consultation.
But
it's a public consultation.
So what is it? I mean, you can understand. Look, closure of mental health day services. Absolutely, tick it. We need to keep it. and we need to bust the gut to keep it. But then it'll say short-term services and learning disability reviews. OK, you need to tick that one as well. There's other things here, and you look at it and you think, well, what is it? How can we vote on something that we know nothing about?
You can't, can you, is the answer.
No.
You can't.
So what's the point of this?
Because it's a public consultation and they have to put it out there to engage the public, innit?
Well, make it a little bit more detailed so we know what it is we're ticking.
Phone up and ask what they are.
Brilliant.
When you fill in the form, phone up and ask what they are.
They're busy anyway, aren't they?
They are, with a reduction in staff.
With a massive reduction in staff. I mean, poor old Mark Chiverton had to announce yesterday, 100 people just lost their jobs? In, you know, since Christmas, 100 people at the council have lost their jobs. There's less people having to fill in these forms or write these forms now. So I don't know who they're getting them to do them, but I mean, you know, really and honestly, there's about 30% of what's on this form you can look at, surrender lease on C Street car park. Okay, that says what it is. But there's things there that you look at and think, I haven't got a clue what you're on about. Cease all enforcement activities. What's
that's,
that?
That's crazy, for planning. That's
anyway,
planning and building.
Somebody else could have a chance to come on.
Thanks for cheering us up,
Keith. That's all right, mate. All the best for
Thanks, Keith.
Right.
Thanks for being there, mate.
Bye.
Cheers, mate. Bye. So what are you? I'm not having a go. I'm just pointing out. If you want to get people on side, get them on side. But they need to pick this up and say, right, okay, what is this all about? Staff savings, democratic services. What is it?
One would presume it's in the democratic service and they're cutting staff.
Okay. But are you sure?
No.
I just, honestly, learning and development. In what? What are we talking about here? Learning and development. Yeah, I'm all for it. Tick it. We've got to keep it. I'm not quite sure what it is, but we've got to keep it. Reduction in member allowances. So is that the councillors?
Yeah.
Okay, reduction in member allowances one and reduction in member allowances two. God's sake, how many member allowances do you have?
Well, no, I think there's member allowances for being a councillor and then there's on top of that for attending meetings and things like that.
Well, it doesn't say that here.
No, but I know that's probably what it is. But the thing is, if you cut allowances for members, you are not going to get the councillors coming forward to stand in a future election.
Well, I've got to be honest with you. There are 40 of them. There are way too many.
But you say there's way too many, but that is what has been deemed necessary to cover the parishes and the wards and the towns and everything on the Isle of Wight.
Okay.
So they don't have a say in that.
You filled in this form.
I did.
So you filled in this form, and come on, be honest, there are certain things on there that you don't know what they
are.
There
are probably about five or six things on there, yeah, that I didn't know what they were.
I mean, am I wrong to bang on about it? I'll just look at it and think, it's a joke. It's a fiasco. You want people to get involved. Have a look at it. Have a look at this form. Is it real? Does it say what it is?
It is real. And everything on here means something to someone, doesn't it?
Fleet management. Reduction in staffing levels. Well, what does that mean?
I don't know. I've got no idea what fleet management is.
Well, this is another one. I've highlighted more than four or five that you don't know anything about. Reeve Court contract adjustments.
I'm presuming Reeve Court is a place.
Right. How do
so
we know what it is?
So they will be renegotiating their contract.
Honestly, let's take a break and maybe we'll do a bit more reading. But this is a feedback form. You know, please tick three choices, the top three choices that you feel the council should and shouldn't make, OK? How can we do that if we don't know what it's all about? How can we do that? How can we get people involved? How can we get people to stand up and be counted?
Because people are going to tick what is important to them, aren't they?
Yeah, but in some of these instances, you might not be aware of what's important because it's not very clear.
No, but everyone who fills in the form, Ian, will tick what is important to them.
Okay. Can I have a look at your form in a minute, Ian?
What, that I filled in?
I want to see what you've done here for these
I'll tell you what I filled in.
Okay, let's take a break and we'll come back in two ticks.
The Lunchtime Social, brought to you in association with White Fibre. Our packages are great value and we constantly check our prices to ensure we remain competitive against other providers. Call for a chat on 01983 240 240. www.vectisradio.com.
Do you need that unsightly chewing gum removed in an eco-friendly way without any hindrance to your day-to-day business? Do you need that fragile stonework cleaned, and are you worried that it could be damaged? Worry no more, because White Stream Hydro Cleaning Services is here. We are the island's exterior cleaning and restoration specialists. We cover the commercial, industrial, maritime and solar sectors for all of your cleaning and restoration needs. Call our professional team on 01983 642 101. That's 01983 642 101. Or go to our website www.whitestream.co.uk for a full list of our services. White Stream, it's what's on the outside that counts.
The House of Chili is located at Hollier's Barn in Branston, between Princelet Chute and Thompson Garden Centre. We stock a vast array of chili-related products from the Isle of Wight. Chili balsamics, relishes, chutneys, marmalades, sweets, snacks, dried mixes, and a vast array of hot sauces from the Isle of Wight and around the world. We have sample tables to taste a wide variety of products. Looking for that unique present? How about a House of Chili gift pack or one of our luxury hampers? Check out www.houseofchili.com. Ideal gifts for the chili lover in your life.
Having a problem with your phones? Need your sound system sorted out? Call Westwhite Audio for expert, friendly advice. Whatever your problem, just ask Kelvin on 0800 118 2484, email info@westwhiteaudio.co.uk, or follow the link on the Vectis Radio homepage.
Lifeline Alarms and Security Services, providing security and alarm services for the leisure industry, domestic and residential, and more. Providing access control emergency systems, key holding, installation, monitoring intruder alarms, and much, much more. Check them out at www.lifeline-security.co.uk. Put your mind at rest. Call Lifeline Alarms and Security Services on 01983 521 621. That's 01983 521 621. Lifeline. They put you first.
Tape Animate is an exciting free workshop on Saturday the 6th of February from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. led by the artist Joanna Corey at Key Arts for young people aged 11 to 14 years, funded through Waves, Key Arts Youth Offer. You will learn how to create beautiful backgrounds with magic tape and old magazines before turning it into figure animation. To book your place, call Key Arts Box Office on 822-490. Waves is funded through Isle of Wight Council and is available to young people resident to the Isle of Wight.
Stay social and get in touch. Give us a call on 01983 240 666, or add us on Skype. It's vectis.radio. The World Wide Web never felt so local.
The Lunchtime Social is brought to you in association with White Fibre for the best deals in broadband, television and phone. 100% local. All employees live on the Isle of Wight. Check them out at www.whitefibre.com.
And you're back in the room. We're back with part two of today's Lunchtime Social debate. We're talking about the austerity cuts. We're talking about the councils and the meetings that they are having. There's a vote on February the 24th, which is what the council are going to vote in the budget that they're all trying to work out what we should be doing. Last night there was a meeting. I've got Steve Goodman on hold. Just hang on a minute there, Steve. And last night there was a meeting at Medina, which we've mentioned, and probably one of the high points of the evening is when Mark Chiverton stood up. Now, he's the Unison branch representative. He's acknowledged the Isle of Wight Council has worked better with him than in the last administrations, and he stood up and asked the questions. He would like to know in graphic details what steps are being taken to challenge government to set out what a catastrophe this is, and how are they going to ensure a local MP is representing the Isle of Wight. What's he doing? Is he representing the Isle of Wight and not the government? So, and that apparently got a massive round of applause. Now, you just mentioned off air, Steve. Welcome, by the way.
Hello.
that are we getting him in to ask questions? We will send the email today to invite him in.
I have. I've already asked him to come in and send me some dates.
Okay. Has he been back in touch yet?
No.
No? Okay. So what's your thought on this? Because I know you don't spend a lot more... you don't spend too much time on the Isle of Wight now. What's it like where you are? How does it compare?
Well, I'm still backwards and forwards. I'm doing a lot of stuff here, there and everywhere, or trying to. But my main point is don't lose sight of the big picture. And Mark's got it right. And if you've invited the MP and he's not even had the courtesy to reply yet, I don't know how busy he is, but I don't know if there's anything much more important than this that he should be dealing with. We dealt with the tiger, which was coming here anyway. What about the stuff that matters a hell of a lot more? It's just astonishing. Government is making it impossible for local authorities, not just on the island but elsewhere, to run even statutory services. Now, how the hell that's supposed to work out, I don't know. But
because they want, Steve, they would like every authority to take responsibility for themselves through council tax and business tax.
Well, that's fine if the figures stack up,
isn't it? But ours don't.
But in a contracting economy, when businesses are closing and wages are tight and this, that and the other, is there going to be the money coming in to cover that? I don't know. It's all a question of income and expenditure, isn't it? And there seems to be a lot of money. If they've got money for things like Trident and HS2 that not many people seem to want, and there's a big argument about if we do need transport improvement, you could do a hell of a lot more with that money than you could just by putting it into HS2. All these sorts of things count. They're talking about having to make 20 billion quid's worth of cuts to services, and coincidentally, there's 20 billion pounds a year lost to the Treasury from tax avoidance.
Mm.
Income and expenditure.
And
if these services are supposed to be provided, then they've got to be paid for. We can't have it both ways. We either have the service and we pay for it, or we don't have the service. Now, are people who can afford it going to pay more? What's going to happen?
I don't know, Steve. All I know is our income does not cover our expenditure.
No, quite.
At all. It doesn't come anywhere near it.
Exactly. So should we be spending things like 100 billion plus on Trident, for example? Should we be spending 60 billion on HS2? These are the kind of choices that perhaps ought to be made. We can't make them, but the people responsible could perhaps do a bit better. Perhaps they need to know what we do really want, not just tinkering at the edges with little bits and pieces locally.
But the bigger picture to that, Steve, is we actually have a Conservative government for the next 4 years that were voted in.
Yeah, quite. Well, they've got the responsibility.
Mm.
It's their responsibility. It's all very well Osborne and crew imposing all this on people, but it's them. They're the ones who've got to explain what they're doing. If it doesn't work, they've got to come up with something better. They're a bit insulated from this, aren't they? They're passing the buck. They're telling the local authorities they've got to do the dirty work, they've got to make all the cuts. They're the ones who are taking the flak, or a lot of it. And Mr. Osborne and his colleagues, who are doing the damage, seem to be getting off lightly. It's just astonishing. I tuned in late. I don't know if you mentioned, for example, the Prime Minister complaining to the local authority in his constituency.
Yeah,
Ian
mentioned.
What the hell's going on there?
I don't know. We said that's like sticking a needle in your tyre and then complaining because you've got a puncture, isn't it, really?
Well, quite. I think that's one good illustration of just what a mess this whole thing is. And they can't have it both ways. You know, if people in Downing Street, if the neighbours in Downing Street are imposing this on us, and you've got the chap in number 11 doing something that the chap in number 10 then complains about, what the hell's going on up there? It doesn't work. It doesn't add up. Something's got to give. The pattern seems to be that the government's decided that services, a lot of services that we regarded as quite important, if not essential, now have to be either abandoned or handing over to big companies to run at a profit all of a sudden, which is going to cost us more money because we've got to pay for the service and we've got to pay additionally for somebody's profits. So is that the best use of our money? I don't know if you've followed what's happening in London Borough Barnet, but even before the crash, the local authority decided they were going to offload, privatise as much as possible.
But it's,
and there's a chap there, a union guy who's all set for retirement, and I've forgotten his name, which is a disservice to him because he's done a brilliant job. But he was sending weekly briefings to the councillors on all this, and basically predicted direction of travel, what was going to go wrong and when, kind of thing. And then when, surprise, surprise, when the first thing happened, when the first of those important privatised services suddenly got into trouble and had to be bailed out by the taxpayer again, this wasn't a surprise. And this is a pattern that's being repeated nationally. And the sums don't stack up. We're paying. We're never paying less, and we're getting less and less for it. And the money's going into places that maybe it shouldn't. And if anything's costing us more, and if the service is getting worse, we've just been lied to, because we were told the opposite. We were told privatisation's the best thing to do for these reasons. It'll save you money, and the service won't get any worse. In fact, it ought to get better.
And you're quite right. People are still paying the same money for less services.
Well, quite.
And people need to realise that their council tax will definitely go up. You know, that's added to the problem, Steve, that for years there's been no increase in council tax, so the revenue hasn't been there in the first place, and we've come to this point. Because we had a government that didn't want to impose council tax rises so they could get re-elected.
Yep.
Vicious circle.
And some of us see through this sort of stuff.
Mm.
And not enough.
It's all, well, there's the message that ought to get out. You know,
your council tax is going up.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Which
and it's,
needn't be a bad thing. If, again, it's income and expenditure. If we're paying taxes, but we're getting reasonable services for it, and therefore saving money elsewhere, is that a bad thing? There's always going to be this equation, isn't there? You know, it's always, I keep saying it, it's income and expenditure.
Mm.
But if they're costing us more by adding profits where services were run not for profit before, that's stupid to me. All right, it's a bit bloody cheeky, because basically they're overcharging me, and I resent that.
How do you, just changing the subject just a little bit and rolling it on a couple of years, you kind of mentioned it there about the, you know, the cost of things, and if what will happen in the next couple of years, say, how long do you see us having to pull in our belts for? And if and when we come out of the other side, are they actually going to have to throw more money at these things that they've closed down to get them up and running again? So it defeats the object a little bit, doesn't it?
Well,
they're not thinking of the
likely,
future.
Isn't it? But I think it's also impossible to say, isn't it? And we're also operating in a world which is becoming less and less certain for all sorts of reasons, whether it's environmental, political, loads of things are impacting. Things, big things are going seriously wrong. And it seems to me that for that reason as well, we shouldn't be mucking up stuff that worked better before it was mucked up. It's put a bit too simply, perhaps, but do you get my drift?
No, I like simple things. I really do.
But there will be an impact as well, because if you cut services in one area, you could find that they're increased in another area because those services have been cut from the first area.
Well, quite. It depends how you
crazy.
Do the equations and how good your... this is a good chance for people to lie about stuff, isn't it? It's things like you shut down certain services, say mental health or whatever, and then suddenly people like the police and accident emergency have to pick up an awful lot of the problems created by doing that. And it would have been cost-effective not to muck it up in the first place.
But it's like...
If someone can say, I've saved X amount on this budget, people seem to be chuffed until you start pointing out that, well, budget Y, Z and whatever, you're having to spend more on.
But it's
and
like...
more people are suffering and more people are getting hurt and more people are dying and all that. It's big stuff.
It's huge, Steve. And, like, handing it down to town and parish councils is a good idea if that town or parish council has actually got the budget to take on that service. But then the knock-on effect of that is, I'm actually a parish councillor, I've had no business training, I've got no management skills, and suddenly town and parish councillors are being asked, who, by the way, are all volunteers, to take on services with no idea of how to do that. So you need training put in place to enable them to do that. So there again is expenditure in the first place for something you're trying to save money on.
Yeah, it's a bit like turning the clock back as well, isn't it? Before, you know, when things were much more local, economies were more local and so on, and things weren't as complicated and as technical and as expensive as they are now, towns and villages and whatnot ticked over reasonably well. But that was a different world. And we can't say now that you're just going to dump everything back on a few people locally. And it's just wrong. We've learned from those mistakes, if you like. We've evolved. There's a good reason for doing a lot of stuff that we do now, the way we do it. All sorts of reasons. It's a separate conversation and we're straying a bit. But back to the big picture, this is being done by central government. It's them. It's not your local council. It's them. And our central government rep is Mr. Turner, and Mr. Turner ought to be a lot more audible on this. What the hell's going on? He should be representing us in Westminster. He may or may not be. He should definitely be explaining what his Conservative government is doing and why, and how the hell they think we're supposed to cope.
I'll tell you what we're going to do. We are going to contact him this afternoon, and hopefully, fingers crossed, we will get him on in the next week or two. How's that? Because I think you're absolutely right, and I think Mark Chiverton was right to ask that question. What is he doing to help this situation? And these people that are supposedly, they're the ones that are supposed to be sorting this out for us. They ought to, like you say, be a bit more audible, be a bit more vocal, and let us know what they are doing. This is why you're paying this person £75,000 a year, because he is now your representative, as you rightly put it. And we need to know what you're doing, because I think it's going to get. I think this is just the tip of the iceberg at the moment.
RMP.
I think it's going to get far, far worse.
RMP RMP doesn't even attend the full council meeting.
Was he there last night?
Not that I'm aware of.
Right. Okay. That's interesting as well. But we shall make contact with him. Hey, Steve, we've got to go because we've got to go to the news in a moment.
Last thing, he doesn't have to do a damn thing. He's been elected. He's there. He is sat in his seat. He doesn't have to do anything now. He can just switch off, and he's still the MP. And that's bloody outrageous.
Absolutely outrageous. Yeah.
We can certainly ask the question what he is doing and get him to back that up with facts and figures. Thanks for being there, Steve.
Okay. Good
night. Cheers
now.
Bye. Interesting, fascinating. What will you do now with this form that you are trying to promote and tell everybody to fill in? I mean, I've just pulled up things here on this form. It says alternative methods of service delivery. On what?
On how they deliver services, on whatever services the council delivers.
Well, what services? What services? There are many services. It's misleading. Okay, it's in adult social care. Okay, go into a bit more detail. It says here, review of the 200 complex. What is it?
I don't know.
Do you know
it
what it is?
To someone?
What did you tick? Did you tick yes?
No, I didn't tick it. You
additional income.
You need to tick three that are important to you and three that you think are the least important to you.
Okay. But there isn't a great deal of detail here. Create a single commissioning team in early help. That's in the children's services. You know, I'm not understanding of that. There was a few other bits and bobs that I pulled you up on, and there was about five or six things there that even you don't understand.
See, I don't know why you pulled me up on it. I never wrote the form.
No, I know, but if you're going to come in and promote the form, you've got to know what it's about. But you've obviously ticked the boxes.
I've ticked what's important to me and what is least important to me.
Okay.
I haven't ticked things I don't understand.
They need to go into a little bit more detail to tell you what it is and what the cutback is and why they're doing it. And you know, so there's things on there supporting people one, supporting people two. What does that mean?
I don't know.
What does it mean?
I don't know.
The form is unworkable.
I didn't make the form up.
Oh, who made the form up? It's got a name on. I'm getting back to them. I'm going to show. I'm out of make a blooming form. Hey, look, we got to go. Thanks, Ali.